Well, good morning, everybody. It is a joy to be here today. It's been a little while since I've been able to share with your community, and it's just really great to be back and see some new faces and some very familiar faces, but also just hearing some of the amazing things and the joy that you're celebrating as a community. And I heard about your recent baptisms. What a wonderful thing that's happening here at Olivet Baptist Church. So thank you for including me today. It is, it's 1 week removed from Easter, but I want to say we're still in Easter. The season of Easter is the season of resurrection, a reminder that all things are being made new and the promise that a broken world is being restored. Our passage today highlights that. And thank you for reading it so well. Appreciate that. It culminates in this passage in the throne room of heaven with multitudes gathering around the risen and resurrected Jesus, the Lamb of God. This is good, good news. And we're going to talk about that today. But it's not going to be a sermon. It's not going to be an exposition of this passage. It's going to be more of a reflection. And looking forward to that. And also, Pastor Stephanie, thank you for inviting me. She asked me to share some stories about what's been happening at Journey Home. And so I've got some stories to share with you as well. And I hope all of that is an encouragement to your community today. So just a little bit about me. I'm not going to say much, but just my name is Brad Kinney. I'm the executive director at Journey Home Community. And I've been at Journey Home for a long time. I'm just about to celebrate my 16 years at Journey Home, and it's been a wonderful experience for me. And was exciting to see that Alan is speaking here next week. When I was doing my studies at Regent, I read a lot of Alan's books as well around mission. If you don't know Journey Home Community, or if Journey Home is newer to you, we are your partners. We are so fortunate that Olivet has this home next door and that you've made it available to Journey Home Community. We lease it from you. And in this home, we make a space for newly arriving refugee claimant families and individuals who need a space, who need a home to land in and to rest in as they prepare for settling in Canada. So let me just share a little bit of background around that before we get into our reflection today. So refugees arrive to Canada in three ways. The first two, pretty familiar ways, government-assisted and private-sponsored refugees. They seek asylum outside of Canada. They've crossed out of their country into usually a neighboring country, and they've asked for protection, and often it's the United Nations that hears their claim for protection and grants them refugee status. But they can't stay in those countries, and so groups all around the world, and Canada is a big part of this, welcome them and resettle them into a third country. So Canada does this through our private sponsored and our government assisted refugee programs. We provide housing when they arrive for a year of support. They have housing and support. But the interesting thing is that the day they arrive on Canadian soil, they're given a permanent resident card. And they know that their future is in Canada. And then another way, a third way that refugees arrive in Canada is through the refugee claimant pathway. The refugee claimant pathway is where groups of people seeking asylum leave their country, just like the first two groups, but they travel here on their own. They travel to Canada on their own. And when they arrive, they seek asylum. They ask for protection. So just like government-assisted and privately sponsored refugees, they are persecuted people. They have suffered trauma in their home country, and it's forced them to flee. It's forced them to leave and seek protection. But when they arrive in Canada, because they're still seeking that refugee status, they aren't welcomed as readily and as easily. Nobody is at the airport or at the border to receive them when they come across into Canada. They have difficulty qualifying for services and supports because of their uncertain status. the things that are available to permanent residents and Canadians may not be available to them as refugee claimants. That's the group that Journey Home Community welcomes. That's the group that we welcome into this home next door, into around 20 other housing units that we operate in Metro Vancouver. I think it's always helpful to make it clear by sharing a story. So here's the first story. I want to share a story about a recent arrival, an Afghan family, Ahmed and Nasreen, and their two children. They arrived in Canada, and they were introduced to Journey Home Community. You might remember in August 2021, the Taliban took back control of Afghanistan. And on the news, there were photos and videos of desperation, of fear and chaos and violence at the airport in Kabul, as thousands of people were desperate to flee and get away from the Taliban. They were trying to get out in any way possible, military transports, commercial flights, and so many were unable to escape. Those that weren't evacuated, many of them tried to walk and get out of the country across neighboring borders. And Ahmad and Nasreen, they fled to Pakistan. In Pakistan, they tried to access resettlement programs to come to Canada or Europe or the United States, and they were blocked at every opportunity. There was no success. So in Pakistan, they also were extremely vulnerable. They weren't really accepted there, as is the case for a lot of Afghans. They didn't have legal status. There was no permission for them to work, and essentially they were living in hiding. Because recently, Pakistan has begun deporting Afghans back to Afghanistan. So you can imagine the fear this created for Ahmad and Nasreen and their family. They were out of options and they were feeling greatly threatened. And the family was desperate. So what did they do? Maybe just stop for a moment and think, if you were in this kind of situation, what would you do? You'd probably do whatever you could to find a way to safety. I know I would. Ahmad and Nasreen did that by finding a pathway to a humanitarian visa in Brazil. And so they took a trip to Brazil. They followed that pathway. But Brazil wasn't really a place they felt safe or comfortable to remain. So then they began walking and taking any mode of transportation possible, first to Peru, and then through Ecuador and Colombia and Panama and Costa Rica and Nicaragua and Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico, and then finally into the United States, and then northward and crossed our southern border into Canada. And they made their claim for refugee protection. Can you imagine that journey with two younger children? It's really remarkable, such courage. And when they arrived in Canada, because their refugee status has to be determined over a 12 to 24 month process, and maybe even longer right now because of lack of resources, claimants like Ahmad and Nasreen arrive in a state of great uncertainty. They don't know how their status is going to be resolved at the end of this process. Like other refugees, they maybe arrive not knowing a lot of English, and they've left their jobs, their family, and their friends, and so they feel disconnected. But unlike government-assisted and privately sponsored refugees, they don't have a guarantee. They didn't have a guarantee of housing when they arrived, and they didn't qualify for all of the government programs available to them. And also, they didn't have a receiving group, as I mentioned, when they crossed the border. They were on their own. They had to look out for themselves. So, alone, traumatized, disconnected, under-resourced, and at risk of homelessness. Those are the common experiences for newly arriving refugee claimants, and these are the individuals that we welcome into our community. Thank you, Olivet. What you provide by making space in that house next door is an absolute gift for a family like this. And it is a place for them to land after a long journey, to unwind, to sleep maybe for the first time peacefully in a long while, And then to begin wrapping their mind around what the next steps are. It's an absolute gift. We had our AGM just on Thursday evening, and somebody that I'm going to reference later on in our talk shared their story about their first night in transitional housing was the best sleep that they had had in months and months and months. That's a gift that you're giving to people, and it makes a big difference. Okay, so we're going to pause this story. We'll come back to it. We want to move into our reflection on the Revelation chapter 7 passage. In this passage, I'm going to reflect on three things today. I think it shows a vision of our future family. I think it shows a vision of our future home, and I think it shows a vision of a future hope. So, our future family, our future home, and our future hope. Are you ready? Let's look at it. So, our future family. Before we look at Revelation 7, I want to also look at some other passages throughout Scripture, some other key passages, because the whole biblical teaching on family and how we're connected to one another is actually really interesting. In the Old Testament, we are taught to love and welcome the stranger as if they're related to us, as if they're like our family. In Leviticus 19, 34 and 35, it says, "The foreigner residing among you should be treated as your native-born, as if they're Canadian. Love them as you love yourself." And I think that love them as you love yourself, I was kind of trying to reflect on that a little bit. What does that really mean? That's as close as you can get, right? That's family love. Loving them as if you love as if they're part of who you are. That's a high calling for people who are strangers to us. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verse 12, it teaches, "But to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What a privilege to be called sons and daughters of the Most High King, to be included as children in this family that's being created out of people all over the world, sons and daughters of God. He gives us the right to become children. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul teaches in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, that we're even closer than family, I think, because we've all been given the same Spirit of God. We are now part of the unified body of Christ, one body with many parts. We're part of a single body and united under a single Spirit with Christ as the head. So these are all little vignettes of actually the biblical view of what it means to be connected and to be family. And the Revelation passage tells us that our future family, those that we're going to be eternally connected with, will be made up of this great multitude from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. This gathering, our future family, it's going to be a beautiful mosaic of diversity, all unified by our connection to the resurrection of the Lamb of God and to his beautiful mission and his plan to make us into this new family underneath Christ's head. That's exciting. That's amazing. So reflections, the good thing about reflections is that you move quickly. We're on point two already. The future is our family, this future family's vision of our future family. Now let's talk about the future home that we're going to experience. If this is our future family, let's take a brief look at our future home. Our future home is before the Lamb of God, serving and praising and enjoying his presence. And this home is marked by peace and the shalom of God. Later in Revelation 22, as this story continues from chapter 7, we read about the tree of life on either side of the banks of a river that flows from the throne through the new city, the new Jerusalem. And this river is described as being the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. And it's a source of life that nourishes trees that bear 12 kinds of fruit. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Our future home is a place of peace and healing. It's a place of beauty and fruit and life. And the triune God is planning this place to be a home that amends and makes right all of the wrongs and the challenges that characterize our current home. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful vision. So our family, our future family, a multitude of people from all nations, tribes, and tongues with Christ as the head, beautiful in its diversity, marked by unity. And our future home, a place of peace and life and healing and fruit and hope and praise and worship of the risen Jesus. The next one, our future hope. We're going to end our reflection time with this future hope. What is it that we can hold on to and look forward to in all of this? How does this reflection on our future family, our future home, and our future hope help us today? Well, we live in a time where I'm going to observe that I think nationalism is really growing in our world. In Europe, there are political movements that are strengthening borders as countries protect their own interests. There are major conflicts in countries like Russia and Ukraine, Gaza and Israel. And there's internal conflicts in places like Colombia and Venezuela and Sudan and Myanmar. People are suffering around the world, and innocents are being displaced, both within their borders and forced to flee and leave their countries. And even close to home, we're not experiencing that level of conflict in Canada, but we are living in a time when we perceive our longtime friends to the south maybe aren't as friendly as we thought they were, at least politically. And to protect ourselves, what are the messages that we're being bombarded with? We're being told, don't travel there, buy Canadian, and put Canada first. And I don't know about you, but the things that felt familiar and normal are now feeling a little off-center and strange to me. And what that's done is I've felt, over the last 4 months, maybe this personal threatening experience and anxiety that's being produced as I've been listening and responding to all that's happening around us. And as I've been reflecting on this passage, the leaves of the tree of life for the healing of the nations is something that I'm longing for. May the healing of the nations take hold now. Lord Jesus, come. In our passage, in Revelation 7, those that are united by the resurrected Lamb of God and the Lordship of Jesus who sit on the throne realize hope. They're living in a realized time of hope, an experience of hope, a hope where all things have now been made new. They are experiencing peace and healing. The author of Revelation writes, "He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence." And in verse 16 of chapter 7, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat." And later on in Revelation 21, again, as this vision unfolds, it's described, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new. I am making everything new." This is a sure promise, church. These are words of hope for our future. This is where the end of the story is headed. This future hope is steeped and marinated in the biblical concept of shalom. The Hebrew word shalom is translated into English as our word peace. But this translation to English is actually quite limited for us to understand what is actually behind this concept of shalom. Because we often think of peace as no war and no problems. On Easter weekend, the church I attended, the Way Church in Vancouver, Pastor Daryl Johnson actually spoke about the concept of shalom. And he said, when we think of peace, we think of an absence of strife. But shalom, peace, has so much more meaning. For it's not just the absence of conflict and the absence of strife. It's actually about presence. Shalom is about presence. It's about the presence of soundness and wholeness and healing and justice and well-being. And I see this in the Revelation passage that we read. In fact, all of the Revelation 7 and 21 and 22, all of the passages we've referenced, listen again to the words and phrases in the passage. It's about the shelter of his presence. It says, God will dwell with them. He will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death and no more mourning and no more crying and no more pain. Those are words to hold on to in the city of Vancouver in thinking about what happened here last night. I am making all things new, he says. This is hope. This is our hope. Let's let that sink in. Let's let those words sink in. Shelter, presence, dwelling, no tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, and no pain. This is good news. This is Easter at work. This is resurrection, and this is the time of resurrection that we're living in, and also that we're walking towards, because it's imperfect now, but we hope and we look towards when it will be perfected. And we're invited to walk together toward this hope together. And if this is God's plan for his creation and for his people, doesn't it inform also what he taught and why he taught back in Leviticus, back in the Old Testament, about welcoming strangers? Back to Leviticus 19, when a stranger enters your land, do not do him or her no wrong. Treat the stranger as the native among you and love them as yourself. And then also Jesus, in his own words, when he was teaching in Matthew 25, on this, he says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. And when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. And when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Because this is God's plan. These are the values. This is the heart of the Heavenly Father for his creation. This is the hope that he wants to instill in all of us, even today. Hope for peace, for safety, for provision, for joy, for life, for healing, for presence. Doesn't it make sense when we read those things that this is what God is planning, that we are being invited to walk towards that, even here and now, even in this time where things are imperfect? This hope isn't just a future hope. It is a hope for now. It's not just something that, it'll happen way off in the future. It's happening today. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to follow his way, to live as ambassadors of Jesus and reflect his image in the world. So to me, this is speaking to all this uncertainty that we're experiencing in our world today, and the frustration of all the brokenness and hurt. It's speaking directly to it, to the wars and to the tariffs and to the threats and to the fear of immigrants and to inflation and into the fear of losing our freedoms. Through these passages, today we're being invited to reclaim the solid foundation of our hope. Our hope of our future home, our hope of our future family. It's a home of healing, of peace, of joy, and it's shared with people of all nations and all tribes and all languages, a new family united under the banner of Christ and his salvation and his resurrection and this vision of shalom. So, Journey Home's mission is inspired by God's love. We are creating caring communities. And why? Why is that our mission? Because we want to see this vision come to life. We want to see the vision where all refugees experience hope and belonging as they engage in meaningful participation in their community and flourish in all aspects of life. Because we think that reflects this hope and that we've just reflected on from Revelation. And so at Journey Home, we're endeavoring to structure our ministry to create caring communities, caring and welcoming communities, to open our arms in response to God's call to include others as if they're family. This is how we welcome families like Ahmed and Nasreen and their children. So let's get back to their story. I'll share a little bit more about their story, but what happened when they arrived? When they arrived, they were homeless, actually. They were at a shelter. And they were out of resources. They couldn't buy food. They didn't have a place to live. They couldn't rent anything. And when we met them, we were able, because we had a vacancy in one of our houses, to provide them with transitional housing. It was a safe home with furniture set up and all of the housing items that they needed just to move in and begin living. They couldn't afford food, as I mentioned, and so because of the generosity of donors and foundations and churches, we were able to provide food cards so that they could go out and purchase food that was familiar to them and that would nourish their family. We connected them to resources in the community, to legal aid, to income assistance, to schools, to health care, to mental health resources, to help them build the support network that they needed to begin settling here in Canada, to begin actually living so that they could flourish here in Canada. And why? Why do we treat them like this? Well, it's because we want them to experience the welcome of family. We would do this for our brothers, for a brother or a sister or a mother or a father, wouldn't we? So we also want to do this for newcomers. When the time comes, we will assist Ahmed and Nasreen to search for a permanent home. And they're still in transitional housing. We'll help them to access donated furniture when that time comes and to move out and to orient them to the new community, to the services that are in the new neighborhood that they live in. And we welcome volunteers to join us in this work. We need all the help we can get. And also because we feel like it reflects this shalom, this inclusion, this joy, this peace, and it promotes wholeness and justice and soundness and well-being and healing when we do this together. And so we are so appreciative of partnerships like we have with all of it. You are offering, as I mentioned, a very unique resource. There aren't a lot of churches that have a home that they can make available for this kind of ministry. Your community has also participated, as mentioned, in the Ride for Refuge for many years. You've helped raise funds to help us meet the needs of families that are arriving with great need. Many from your community also have joined us as regular donors, and many have given their time and energy through volunteerism. And we can't forget every Christmas, the Christmas gifts that your community generates. How do you do that? You guys are amazing. And those gifts go to families and children to help us celebrate Christmas with these families. Thank you. Thank you. Nasreen and Ahmed are at the beginning, the very beginning of their journey, and they have miles and miles to go as they continue to figure out how to live here in Canada and what their opportunities are and where this is all going to lead for them. But I thought for a couple more final shorter stories to give you a sense of how does this play out over the long term, maybe 1 year later and 5+ years later. So I've got two more stories for you to give you a sense of the impact. So I mentioned on Thursday we had our annual general meeting, and there was a couple from Uganda, Christopher and Fiona. They're actually your neighbors. They live now in a building just on the corner of, over there, Moody Park area. They're living there now. And they're about 1 year into their Canadian experience. They're part of Journey Home Community, not just as program participants. They're actually participants in the community now. And they also were connected to Willingdon Church because the community house that they were welcomed into was provided by Willingdon Church, right beside that church property. Fiona is serving as a volunteer at Journey Home on our advisory council, giving us advice, showing some leadership. And Christopher is employed at Van City. As I was visiting with Christopher to plan this interview that they graced us with, so gracious when people share their stories, because those are so personal. This is what he said to me. He shared that coming from an African community, which is very communal in its cultural orientation, and then arriving in Canada where we're so independent and individualistic, was actually quite lonely and disorienting for them. But being welcomed into Journey Home and then into Willingdon Church gave them two communities where they could lean into their communal cultural orientation as a family. And he observed and reflected that, and again, these are his words, I didn't prompt these. He said, "What I observe about Journey Home is that you're providing opportunities for newcomers to become neighbors." So for their family, Journey Home community has become like a family to them. And that's such great feedback for us. That's what we hope to see happen. That's part of that vision statement, I believe. And then another story, really quick. This is a story about a family, actually it's two families, who arrived from Iraq more than 5 years ago, and now they're Canadian citizens. I recently was speaking with Sirwan, and he was updating me about how their families are doing. And after this long journey to Canada, and this long 5 years of trying to figure out life here in Canada, they are now feeling safe and at peace with the cause of their displacement, their forcible displacement in Iraq. There's been healing. Each family is doing well. The kids are growing and attending schools. They had one of the brothers and his wife had a Canadian-born child. The kids are doing well. They're feeling settled. This is shalom, soundness, and wholeness. And also, each of the brothers operates a small business. Sirwan has a painting business, and his brother owns a barber shop in Coquitlam. That's amazing. That's well-being for these families. And so, as we are walking together toward hope, I want to invite us today to view these two families not in nationalistic terminology that we are often hearing more and more in Canada, as threats to our border security, as threats to our way of life, and maybe as causes to our housing crisis. I invite you to express instead joy that these two families and their children actually are now citizens of a country that has offered them safety, and that they have a sense of belonging, and that they're moving forward, and that they're giving back and contributing. People who had no community and who were rejected by their home are now at home in Canada. I want to submit that that's justice. So, as I finish up this morning, I want to talk about walking together toward hope. What is our response to the God who welcomes us into new family, who makes all things new and who creates a beautiful body made up of diverse parts, people of all nations, tribes, and tongues, one spirit, the head is Jesus Christ. What is our response to that offer? I want to suggest two responses that we could take on today. Let's walk together toward that hope. And let's not walk together towards the hope that Canada is going to provide, because Canada is great and it's wonderful and we are so privileged. But it isn't going to fulfill all of our needs. Actually, we live in a broken world. There's no place on earth that will fulfill all of our needs, but we're walking together towards the hope of a place where all of our needs are going to be fulfilled and where all things are going to be made new. So as we walk together towards that hope, let's walk together with those who aren't like us, who are newcomers. Let's do it in a way that is loving, and let's do it in an open-hearted and open-handed and generous way. Let's do it recognizing that this is happening all around us and that our hope isn't the here and now. Our hope is in the vision of the shalom of heaven. I think that's a way to relieve ourselves of the anxiety and the uncertainty and the strangeness of this time. And it maybe has just a gift in there that you would encounter and experience. And while I work for an organization that is welcoming refugees, there are so many groups that need that welcome and that walking together. You may be passionate about other groups and other causes. Walk together towards hope with the cause that God is leading you towards. And then the second reflection that I'm wanting to suggest that we maybe walk away with is from Revelation 7. It's to praise God today. Let's praise God for this truth and this hope and this promise that all is going to be made new. Let's join those who around the throne fell down on their face and they worshiped. And this is going to be our closing prayer for today. They fell down on their faces before the throne worshiping, and they said, "Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." And all God's people said,